Hey, good Saturday. We're excited. This is the new Mighty House. We're not gnarly certified, but we are gnarly certified.
Gnarly certified, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
people
so I think, what are we talking, hammers today,
oh,
right?
A brief history of the hammer here.
Yeah.
This Saturday, no more the Cowgill brothers. Now, Dennis?
Yes.
Why don't we run through a brief history of hammers for the
people? Okay, here you go, everybody. There are brick hammers.
Check.
Traditional curved claw hammers.
Yes.
Body mechanic hammers.
Cool.
Lineman hammers.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing hammer.
Chasing.
Titanium framing hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, the little brother of the titanium framing hammer, the solid steel framing hammer.
That's fascinating, Dennis.
Then there's the welder's hammer.
I bet
the
welders
ball
use
peen
that.
Hammer, the tinner's hammer, the prospector's hammer. That one was big back in the 60s. The 1860s.
So is Peter, Paul, and Mary, am I right?
Yeah, there you go. Electricians have their own hammer.
I didn't know that, Dennis.
There's the drywall hammer.
Important.
There's the toolmaker's hammer, the soft face hammer, which I like to consider more of a mallet, the tack hammer. The dead bow hammer, or I'm sorry, that's blow, dead blow hammer. Railroad spike hammer.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Hey, this is our show.
What are you doing?
Cowgirls are not related. I produce this show. My name's Ben, all right? What are you guys even doing?
Hey, man, we're playing the jackhammer.
They just keep holding.
You're telling me we're off the air?
Yeah. Look.
Who's going to replace us?
Yeah, who's going to, what, the Cowgills and Friends?
I don't think so.
Robbie, all right?
Hey, oh,
man,
Robbie, okay.
I'm not leaving here.
You gotta go.
Okay, forget it, punk. I got more hammer skill in my pinky than Cowgill does in 16 decades of construction.
Drum them down. They just keep teasing me. And you know they play like they don't know. Provoking
me. Here I come to April Fools.
Welcome to Mighty House.
This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590.
From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you go to the Mighty House team page, just go to mightyhouse.net, click on the team page. You'll find a lot of great companies there that can help you out around the house. Spring is springing right now, so you want to get that work done. Get on the work order list early. Don't wait, because the backlogs are already starting. So go to mightyhouse.net, click on the team page, and get your stuff squared away right there. You can also give us a call, 847-475-1590. And if you do, you have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And before we move on, I want to say thanks to French and Dennis, also known as Sonar, and Ben for putting together that little April Fool's thing we played at the top of the hour there. They did a great job with it. So
I thought it was real.
You were wondering why you were here?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So. The history of hammers thing was good.
Yeah.
Ball peen.
Yeah. Yeah. The dead blow hammer, I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun to Ron.
Yeah.
Be honest, Ron.
Yeah.
As they were talking about those, did you do the mental checklist whether or not you do or do not own each and every one of those?
Yes. Pretty much. And I think I do. The one was the electrician's hammer. I don't know what he's talking about there. That I'll have to
it's
talk to Klein.
It's probably a Klein Tools hammer.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. I gotta find out from Klein what the electrician's hammer is. But other than
double insulated handle.
Ah, that could be. That could be. Because to me, the electrician's hammer is the side of your lineman's pliers. When you need to drive,
and you're asking them to make a more durable lineman. They've only found them to be over 100 years old, right. And yours don't last 2 weeks.
Right. Well, I do. Because you can drive nails with it, yank screws with them, you cut screws with. Yeah, you know, that's just, it's a good hammer. It's also, it pulls nails, does everything you need it to do. You know, in a pinch. So maybe that's what they're talking about when they say electrician's hammer. They really just mean your lineman's pliers. So could be. That could be. So,
see, what I always find interesting is like the dead blow hammer.
Yes.
So I have one of those, and I use that for mostly assembling drawers.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how good they work. Tails. Yeah.
So it's like a plastic hammer full of buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you swing it, the buckshot goes down, but it doesn't bounce up, and the hammer doesn't bounce around then. So it's a dead blow.
Right.
Which, who the hell ever thought of that? It's beyond me. But
but it works.
And it works great.
It works really, really good. So, yeah, everybody needs one. Everybody needs one of those, sure.
Yeah, you go in my hammer drawer in my garage. It's scary. Robbie'd have she'd have a conniption.
A field day.
You'd have a conniption how many hammers are in there.
Right. It's like, you don't need this one. You don't need this one. You only need one. Okay, you can pick two. That's what you'd be saying. Nope. You can only pick two. There's 10 in here. Pick two. Well, each one has a different use.
Absolutely.
So
it is funny how many hammers you could actually own.
Yes. And I like using my welder's hammer too. That, you know, with the blade on the one side for chipping, you know, and knocking off the slag, you can use that for a lot of different stuff too. So, all right. It was all request weekend. We got a bunch of requests through email and, topics and stuff people wanted to talk about. And one thing that was requested was planning efficient and effective backyard lighting. So we can talk about that real quick. The number one thing, I'm just going to cut, in case Mr. Novak's listening, we're going to cut this off right now. The less lighting you can put in, the better. There is too much light around right now. The light pollution that goes on around the city with uplighting and stuff like that really needs to stop. Okay, so now we've covered that for Mr. Novak. Now let's have some fun. You can do all kinds of different things with solar today. I don't think it's been a couple years since I've actually run wiring out to put in fixtures, because a lot of what you can do today with solar spotlights, with solar pathway lights, actually works really, really well. You can also move them around. If you decide you don't like where it is, you can move it. It's easy to move. You didn't run.
The only downside is, like, are you buying them from an electrical supply house or that crap from the box stores?
Electrical.
Because the stuff from the box stores, those plastic things, the photo cells tend to glaze over in the first year, and then they start falling apart the second year. And, you know, and I mean, I guess if you don't care about the price point and replacing them every year and a half, that's one thing. But it's hard to just find really good quality landscape lighting.
Yeah. If you go to the electrical supply house, I mean, I said it earlier, is Idlewood Electric, but there's a bunch of them around that carry that kind of stuff. Northwest Electric Supply out in Palatine.
Evergreen Oak.
Yeah. So you go there and you look for, they've got good quality landscape lighting, and they have solar powered stuff. If you've got a shed out in the backyard and you want to get power out there, and are you going to trench a line all the way out there and then and hook it up to 110 volts?
No, I'm going to roof it with Tesla tiles and a power wall.
Yeah, well, you don't even need to go that far, because they sell the lighting that has the detachable solar panel. So you put this little panel up that's 8 by 10 inches, and you can mount that to the roof. The wire goes down inside, and it'll run your spotlights. And you could have spotlights in your shed or regular lighting in your shed just off of a small panel that just charges a battery during the day, and you can use it anytime you want.
And if you use LED lights, they use so little energy that
it'll last all night
obviously
long.
Obviously, that lasts a long time.
Correct. So landscape lighting, I try to steer people towards that. Make sure your lighting is pointing down, lighting the space, because you lose a lot of light. If you have up lighting, it might highlight things really well, but it really doesn't light your path. You can't see where you're going very well. So you want covers on your lighting, pointing it down, focusing that lighting down on the ground so that you can actually see where you're going a lot better.
And I'm with Mike Novak. There is so much light pollution. It is really disgusting.
Yes.
Like, you can't see stars anymore.
Yes, because of it. So
it's one of the reasons I left Chicago. I just couldn't take I hate that. Yeah. I go down to the beach here, and it's like you can't find constellations because there's too many stars.
Yes, that's good. That's what you want. So you can run 110-volt lighting, and you can trench it and wire all that stuff and put it in conduit or bury the – you know, the UF cables.
Low voltage.
But it's a lot, there's a lot of work involved in that. So I'd always say look at the solar stuff first and go from there. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more of your requests after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This
I
is
have a request.
Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
They come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeApprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net.
I'm Googling it. I'm Googling this. I
don't understand. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Did I just mess up your whole world?
This is, I don't even understand what you're talking about.
We can't come in at the end of a conversation and expect to be.
No.
This is not for
this
air.
This is not for air. He said something. I'm like, I'm going to Google that because I'm pretty good on the references that sometimes you guys make. You know, sometimes euphemisms and stuff like that. I've never heard this, so I'm Googling it. Ew. But you have to tell me why you came up with this. Oh my gosh!
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. What is that about?
I can't tell you.
You're gonna tell me off air.
Yes, we will. Next break, we're gonna talk.
Well, then move along, please.
Okay, this was an all request show this weekend. All request topic, whatever topic you wanted to hear, send us an email, give us a call. We'll talk about it and we'll cover it.
Will you build me a pond in my backyard?
Yes. Now.
He said yes.
Yeah.
It is April Fool's, so might as well say no.
Sure. One of the requests we had was, whatever happened to the cat house down the street? And
still there.
Are you there, Ben? Ben, hey, Mike, can you hear me? Nope. Ben just walked out. Right as I go to the phones, and Ben walks out. That's how that works. No, Trixie, get away from the board. Mike? Are you there? No. Nope. Okay. So down the street. Why don't you go get Ben? Down the street there was a house that had 100 cats in it, and we did a quick walk down the street video that we did Facebook Live, and it is posted on YouTube. So a lot of stuff we've been doing, I'm moving over, posting it on our YouTube page. Are you okay, Robbie?
No. You disturb me to no end.
That's good. That makes me happy. That truly makes me happy.
The fact that it's even possible to disturb her?
Yes. That too.
Or hey. That you actually succeed.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, that's for horses.
Hey, Ben, are you there? Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Whoa, there he is. Now we got it. Don't show her what to do. Please, you just can't leave. That's all there is to it. Okay? All right, Mike, we had a request. Because it's an all-request show this weekend, someone said, okay, what happened to the house down the street with all the cats? So I wanted to have you call in real quick and just give us an update. How did that go? We had 100 cats in the house. It stunk to high heaven. You came in and did what?
So we ozoned the house. We did a high concentration ozone shock with industrial ozone generators for a solid week. And with that said, with ozone generators throughout the house, basement, first floor, second floor, we got rid of that odor 100% in basement, second floor, and most of the first floor, with only the kitchen with some remaining odor, maybe about 5%, 5 to 10% of that odor was left. So we're going to help with switching gears to maybe some enzymes or some wood sealant.
Okay, so that's probably just in the floor, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, a lot of subfloor issues where I guess the cats were really treated or kept in the kitchen quite often. So that was the most heavily soiled area.
Right. So could you just cut out all that stuff too, right?
Right, right. We're going to look at what's the best option here coming up in the coming weeks.
It truly wasn't. I don't even know if you'd say it was 5 or 10%. It wasn't anywhere near as bad as you would expect.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Well, not after having 100 in there or whatever. It wasn't horrible.
Well, when we walked in there before, it was before when he was setting up his equipment, your eyes were watering. It was so nasty in there. And, you know, you guys spent 10, 15 minutes in there afterwards, and it wasn't bad. And until you got to the kitchen, you couldn't even really smell anything. So now... what state is the house in? Is she going to keep working on this? Where was her? What's going to be her next step then?
Yeah, her next step is to move forward with her rehab and restore the house, as you know, as best she can. And I don't know. I'll be talking to her soon. I can't remember if she's going to be moving in or flipping it. But
okay.
You know, interesting thing, Rich. Hey, remember when you saw all of the exterior outlet covers on the inside of the house?
Yes.
That's because the cats would soil those and get electrocuted.
No.
So they put exterior cover plates on to protect the cats from getting killed.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All you know, there always has to be a good reason for stuff.
I asked about that, and that's what I was told.
Okay, so, you know, normally I would look at that and go, oh, okay, they're worried about drafts and stopping the air infiltration, and they're trying to seal up the house better. But that's not what they were doing at all.
Nope, they were protecting from electrocution.
Oh, wow.
That is wild.
Well,
yes.
That's amazing. So, good. So, it worked out. And I think this is pretty cool. Mighty House to the rescue with the assistance of... Ozone, Action Ozone, and you guys came in, saved the day, and saved her thousands and thousands of dollars because she didn't have to completely gut the entire house. And now she can start moving forward and saving a lot of the original stuff that was in the house, all the floors and all that stuff, which is just amazing.
Right, and that's key, you know, and that's what ozone does. It kills that odor-causing bacteria. So, and basically, dead is dead, so... you know, other than the problematic area of the kitchen, you know, when you've got 100 cats in that area, I'd say we had real good success, and we'll just change gears and help her get rid of that in the kitchen one way or another.
Yeah, I mean,
and the thing too is in the kitchen, all the cabinets were still there, so I mean, that's a lot of wood to absorb odors, so it's hard to deal with that. So if she's doing a full blown, you know, a gut, they'll cut up some of that floor, remove the cabinets, and make it a little easier too.
Right, right. But otherwise, the house is good for, you know, I mean, we saved her a ton of money, haven't we? She doesn't have to tear out walls. She doesn't have to go crazy with all kinds of other, you know, odor eliminators that they have at the stores and stuff.
Right, because I think it's better to kill the odor than to mask it. Is that correct?
Right, right. And there's a lot of, you know, masking products out there, and it's just what they are, is a mask. Eventually that mask comes off, and I'm constantly responding to these type of things where, you know, the floral scented paint, mm-hmm. for example, whether it's for cat odor or cigarette smoke or whatever, these things, they have a limited amount of success with those, but it's very limited. Mm. It comes back.
Right. Well, cool.
Cool, cool.
All right. I know you were out of town. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to just call in and check in with us and give us that quick update, Mike. And it's Action Ozone. What's the website and phone number?
ActionOzone.com, and the phone number is 847-683-7505.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate all your time and helping save that house down the street. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad you guys were able to help her out.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Help.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That was very cool. Mm-hmm. So that worked out pretty well. So now we just need to check in with her and see how it goes.
Right.
And maybe we can walk down there and do another walking man on the street again.
Yeah. Do the cats really electrocute themselves?
If they tinkle on the outlet,
don't
yeah.
know if they get electrocuted or if they just get shocked. But, I mean, either way, that's pretty bizarre.
Uh-huh.
So the electricity can yes. cruise up that fast.
Yes. Okay, you ready for a...
I know I've heard of that when you pee on an electric fence out on the farm.
Yes.
You get a shock, so I suppose it's possible.
So you ready for this? High school, we were on a job site, new construction, mm-hmm. and the supervisor would always come in, go to the back door, and take a leak out the back door. So we laid some wires out there.
No!
He didn't pee out the back door anymore.
You put live wires out
uh-huh.
there.
Uh-huh, yep. There you go. It solves that problem. Because he'd come in, do his business out the back door, and we'd have to smell it all day long. We're there working all day. No. There's a port-a-john over there. Go use it.
Who led this little...
Wasn't me. I was not the instigator, but I did assist in setting it up.
So it's dangerous but not dangerous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you run... Because you take the... Here's what you do. You take a transformer for, I don't know, should I talk about this, Rich? Should
yes.
I really go?
Probably yes. not the best thing to do, but
come on,
go
let's
ahead.
Go.
So you take a doorbell transformer, you get one out of the truck. So now that's 12 volts, 6 volts, whatever you want to do. You plug that into the panel, and then you run the wires out on the ground, and you just, you know, just exposed bare wire. You just, as long as they don't touch, it'll work. So then you run that out there, tinkle, boom, done.
And what's the
Yeah, like touching an electric fence.
Yeah, which I've done and is not good. That is not good.
Well, no, but here's what you need to do, though. If you're going to go touch an electric fence, you grab somebody else first, hold on to them, and then you go grab the fence. You being in the middle, you will not get shocked. The people on the end will.
But it goes through your body.
Yeah, but it's okay. It can pass through you.
I did that once where we were working on a job and I put a ladder over my shoulder. It was a extension ladder.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to walk away, I must have tipped the ladder down onto the electric fence. You know, it was a horse fence or uh-huh. cow, you know, livestock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it gave me a little shock through the ladder. And I was like, what? You know, you just makes you jump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, I don't understand when people say, like, there are some rivers that you can't pee in
yeah.
because there's those little like bacteria fish things that swim up.
Uh-huh.
And then
it's April Fool's.
No. And then go yeah. inside the man's body part.
Uh-huh.
But my thought is if you're pushing fluid out,
uh-huh.
how can this thing swim up the other way?
I don't know.
So it's like the electricity thing.
Well, electricity will travel through liquids.
Up.
Yeah, well, sure.
Okay, so I don't know how this little fish thing can swim up.
I don't know. That's Google
I'm
going to
Google that, too.
Google it.
Anybody who has the answer, 847-475-1590. I know, Ben. It's off topic, but I need to know.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Fish swimming up here.
No.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
After something I eat, I go out where the air is not so sweet.
The port-a-john.
I drop my tools and I
run like the wind to that tiny shack that's 6 feet from the street.
The port-a-john.
The port-a-john. It's a risky place, I know. Cause if you light a match, the thing might blow. The port-a-john.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, nice. There we go. Thanks, Ben. Dial that right back. Perfect. So are you...
Do you want to talk about tree trimming?
Tree trimming?
Tree trimming. And like you shouldn't do it?
Well, okay.
Oh.
By power lines?
Yeah, that's bad. I know.
I posted that article. And here's the thing. And we can talk maybe a little bit more about this when Mr. Novak gets here too. Because I thought, okay, I'm going to just Google this. I heard about the story. I went and Googled it real quick so I could post it and let everybody else know. You should see the amount of articles that pop up of people being electrocuted, trimming their trees and their bushes around mm-hmm. power lines. And it's amazing how many stories popped up. So then I tried to figure out, okay, how often is this really happening? And I think there was probably 6 or 7 that just happened so far this year of people around the country being electrocuted by doing this.
Don't you have a picture in your office? On that big whiteboard, there's a picture. Is that someone who got electrocuted cutting a tree?
No.
Okay.
No. So if you're going to do this, number one, use a fiberglass ladder. If you're going to go up on a tree and you're going to be close to power lines, that's why they make a fiberglass ladder so that it's not grounded. What amazed me is when you watched that story that just happened here in the Chicagoland area. They were on an aluminum ladder, so obviously when they touched the wires, they grounded through the ladder and mm-hmm. completed the circuit. And there's no fuse to protect you up there. There's no breaker to protect you up there. That is going. And it's going to take as much power as it can and put it to ground. And it's never going to turn off until ComEd or the electric company flips the knife switch and shuts that section down. So all that's just going to be going right through you. Aluminum ladders... You don't want anywhere near your power lines. You keep that stuff away from there.
And that said, that's why it amazes me how many people I see that have those, and especially painting contractors.
Yes.
You know, you're painting exteriors of homes, and you get near the electric, the overhead service, and this and that, and with that good old aluminum ladder, and the same thing happens.
Yes. So use a fiberglass ladder. That's if you have to get around the power lines, use a fiberglass ladder. It's the safest way to do it. What amazed me watching the clips of that, the firemen were going up that same aluminum ladder to get the guy down. And, you know, and then they had the fire truck with the bucket and their ladders coming across. And those ladders are all aluminum. So then I'm thinking, wait a minute, what the heck are they doing? I realized then later, ComEd probably shut that down before they went up there. But my first impression was, wait a minute. The fireman just went up the same ladder that this guy just got zapped on.
But the same thing, though, is just like, and you know, ComEd employees and electricians that are linemen are wearing boots and gloves that are typically double insulated. That's
right.
You know what I mean? So they have some protection even through that.
Right.
But this person did not.
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
So, awful.
But I guess they ended up having, it took them like 4 or 5 hours to get the whole thing cleaned up and to repair the lines before ComEd could turn that section of the grid back on. But that's you're better off just calling professionals. And if you're going to use that, the other thing that you see is that the clippers, the tools they're using are also all metal or aluminum poles. And so even if you're standing on the ground and you're trimming and you're using an aluminum long pole, wrong. They make fiberglass ones for that. So that
thanks fiberglass. I buy fiberglass ladders. Don't even take that stuff lightly.
And so if you're trimming, and even if you're standing on the ground and you're using the pole that's got the saw on it and you're trying to cut it, when you finally cut through that branch, if that pole falls and hits the wires, same thing's going to happen to you. So you need to be careful. Stay away from the power lines. If for some reason you have to do it, call a professional or get a fiberglass ladder. You can rent those at the tool supply houses, or, you know, the big box stores that have tool rental. You can rent
a fiberglass ladder. Strap it to the roof of your Honda.
Yeah, your Honda Accord, and where the ladder's twice as long as your car. And, you know what I saw on the freeway like 2 weeks ago? Somebody was doing that, and the wind came along, a crosswind, and spun the ladder on the roof. So now all of a sudden, instead of it going down the road, it was like this, clearing all the lanes. So everybody else, the guy slams on his brakes, but then everybody else had to slam on their brakes too because they couldn't drive past him because the ladder was swinging across.
Well, you only needed one guy to pass him.
Yeah.
Left or right to spin it the rest of the way.
Put it back straight.
So they just did a news story down here. It was similar, and it was like people driving around with unsafe loads.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped this guy, and he was driving a pickup truck all loaded with, I don't want to say he was really garbage collector or if he was garbage picking. I don't know, but it looked like he was moving house.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a single strap on anything, and it looked like the opening scene from the Beverly Hillbillies, you know?
Right.
Like, would you want to drive behind you? And he's like, no. It's pretty funny stuff.
Yeah. I've moved without using a strap. No straps. Pack it all in there just right. You tack it in there. You don't need any straps if you pack it in right. Correct, Ben?
It's just crazy.
Correct? Come on. How many times have you moved?
That's true. I actually used to just pack vans. I used to do audio AV rental. So straps were my best friend, actually, in the van. But I know the Tetris does come in handy.
Yes.
The skill of Tetris.
Yes.
Where's the camera?
It's right over there.
Oh, jeez.
He's all the way over there. I don't... He can't read it. Can you read that, Rich?
Yes.
Okay. It's all good. Ben wants to know.
Yeah.
Ben wants to know what he wants to share.
I don't know. She's just getting kind of weird.
Yes. Getting? What? Where's this getting part?
No. Ron points at me and giggles, and I'm weird?
Yeah.
You guys are like kids.
Him!
Me? No, it was you.
Yeah.
You.
Usually it's you pointing at me and giggling.
No, you.
Yes.
Uh-uh. No, not at all. Let's see. Okay. Where was this other one?
Other what?
Question.
Oh.
For the All Request Saturday.
All Request. The other one was, the other thing I wanted to go over was locking up your tools. Watch when, there's a video we put up on Facebook and Twitter this week. Contractors had their tools sitting out in the front yard. Car pulls up. Starts grabbing all the tools, and they ended up chasing this guy down, trying to get the tools back. And it's all from the people that are across the street must have had like a Nest camera or a security camera.
Home surveillance, yeah.
And so you can see the whole thing going down.
Wow.
And they're ripping and tearing up and down the street in Texas.
Now I'm going to Google that.
So that.
Well, that happened years ago in the city, sitting out in the front yard trimming, and they had bushes in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy came through the bushes, like, you know what I mean? Grabbed the cord for the saw and tried to drag it through the bushes.
Right. Well, and today with...
Unbelievable.
With cordless equipment, there's no extension cords anymore. You know, if you've got a chop box out or a full-size circular saw, but even at that, most of what you've got is sitting on the street.
Cordless now.
And it's all cordless, so it's easy to pick it up and run with it. So you have to keep an eye on your tools. And it looked like it was a decent, nice neighborhood, too. So this can happen anywhere. And we've had more than one truck cleaned out from a job site because it's like they sit back and watch and wait. You go to the big box store, you pull in, they watch you. And as soon as you go in, they got one guy following you through the store while they're cleaning you out.
No.
Yeah, they clean out your truck.
Oh, yeah. I've gone to Big Orange and noticed guys sitting there watching my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll walk up with my notepad and I write down his license plate number.
Nice.
And I make sure they see me doing it. And I've actually had one guy pull up along me like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, just making sure you're not going to go in my truck. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yep.
Because the depot has a policy where the employees cannot really help you. Because, you know, don't put the employees at risk. And I get that. And if your truck gets cleaned out at their place, they'll give you a 10% discount.
So That's the scam with losing your tools is you park, one guy follows you, and he'll be look like he's on the phone, but they'll stay back and make sure you're in the store, and then they clean all the tools out of your truck, so when you come back, it's empty. So that kind of stuff happens a lot. We've also had it just sitting on the street, and they'll watch you, wait, you open the doors, you close it, and if they see you didn't lock it, then they come up and they'll open it up and clean it out when you go in the house. So you just lock up your trucks.
I'm posting it on Facebook now.
Oh,
it is pretty funny because the guy just jumps on it.
Yeah.
And then they drive past, and a second later, you see them drive by again with the pickup truck right behind him smashing into it.
Right. Yeah. And the guy, the
with
contractor.
The one guy on the hood of the car.
Right.
Yes.
The contractor jumped on the hood of the car and is hanging on, trying to keep his tools from walking away. And that gets to be expensive. There's, I don't know, $10,000-$15,000 worth of tools and stuff in a truck, you know. So that gets to be expensive, and it's not an easy thing to replace. So it takes a lot of time because you don't even know what got cleaned out until you go in and go for that one hammer drill that you don't use a lot, and all of a sudden you realize it's missing. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. All right, hey, you know what? It's time for Mr. Novak. I think
yes,
he's coming in next, right? So we'll find out from him how he trims his trees. How's that? No? We'll be back right after this.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
At noon tomorrow. Here's your badge.
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
I can't hear anything.
All right, Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House.
It's been a long
podcast. The previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And with that...
Hey, Ben, you know why I couldn't hear you?
We figured out.
What was that?
Didn't have my headset on.
Oh, wow. That'd be step number one, I would think.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm like, I can't hear. I'm talking
having
to Peggy,
a rough
I'm
weekend,
like,
are
I
you?
I can't hear anything, Peggy. What's going on? I'm adjusting my volume.
I thought Peggy couldn't hear
Never
me.
Mind.
I still can't hear you, Ben.
No?
But
no.
You heard him
you
say
know?
That.
How do you know I said something?
Because it sounds like you're like...
In the distance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Can you hear them?
Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Right, through this?
Can't hear him,
We're
though.
We're fine.
Rich has got to talk.
Can't hear me?
Oh, there
yeah,
you
I wasn't
go.
Saying
That'll
anything.
Do it. And there's Mike.
Here he is.
Oh,
hi,
look
Mike.
At him.
I know.
He's all dapper.
It's been a rough day, so not a lot to say.
I don't know if he's got this up yet because I don't have the headset on.
I swear,
we got
if,
it all adjusted?
If Mike's is all perfect,
I can't hear
it's
anything at all.
Oh.
We can hear you, here? Though.
Yeah, no, you're
okay.
He's got his headset on, but it's not plugged in.
There we are.
That's because you have your sunglasses on.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I was trimming my trees before I came in. So.
Stop.
But, you know, I'm so glad you guys talked about that because that was one of the things I wanted to talk about on the show today. And in January, we had Melinda Myers on the show, mm-hmm. garden expert. This guy calls in. He says, yeah, I got this spruce and it's overgrown.
Oh yeah,
it's airy, and I'm gonna go up and cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think he must have mentioned it was near some power lines mm-hmm. or something. And she, we went to a commercial, and during the commercial, she says to Peggy, I got to tell the guy, you got to bring me back, you got to bring me back, we got to talk to that guy. And we did.
Yeah.
And she said, please don't, please mm-hmm. don't.
Yes.
Yeah, but, call a professional, she says.
Yeah, get a certified arborist. And that's actually a really good point. Don't get some handy guy down the block who's going to do the same thing to himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because he's the guy that's going to ask you to hold the ladder while he's up there.
Exactly. And as Ron pointed out, the charge will go through you
right.
at the end of the ladder.
Right,
and,
yes.
But yeah, because get a certified arborist. To do this, and what is it about people who would rather risk their lives than pay a few bucks to get the job done right?
No, it's not that. It's easy. I just got to go cut that limb off up there, right? That's all I got
to
do.
Yeah. Why would I need to call anyone? I can just take care of it.
I just grab my sawzall. I'll run up there real quick. It'll be no big deal, Mike. I'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, and then you look how they're doing it.
Right.
And they're like 1 foot on the ladder. They got, they're holding the saw with one arm. They're leaning way over. Wait, I got it.
You
hold
know
on.
What, Peggy?
No safety glasses.
They keep saying he. Notice that?
Uh-huh.
It's he.
Well, okay.
He usually is.
And it's so always a man.
Well, I have a hard time getting the wife to go cut the trees.
Well, and
because
that's
she's smart.
And we're also the one who has to make the 911 call.
Right, but here's the
someone's
thing.
Someone's got to be there.
We are
yeah, but you have to wait the 10 or 15 minutes to make sure everything took properly.
We are telling the husband, do not do it. And you know what they're saying to us? What? I can do this. What? You don't have faith in me? What? I'm not going to pay somebody to do this. The woman is trying to convince
correct.
The man
not to. We don't have faith
to.
In you. Yes, we're going to pay somebody else to do this because we don't want you dead.
Right.
It's that simple. And you look at that story, and it was in Addison this week where that happened. And I saw it, and I went, oh, my goodness.
But
I know exactly what happened.
There was probably 8 or 10 so far this year. I
know.
Googled
I heard
it.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And it pops up in Minnesota and all over the place. You know, Texas.
Yeah,
and
someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's happening way more than I ever thought it was. So
I bet it's happening. Yeah, it probably way more than you thought and way more than people know in general. It just happens all the time. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it's because men don't listen to their wives. That's it.
Where's the dinger?
You need to be aware of your surroundings.
I'm sorry, we'll get the dingers in here.
Rich, we didn't hear you.
What'd you say?
Said you have to be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, well, you guys all
plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Well, but you probably have situations like that indoors where you're using tools and you got to be careful where
absolutely.
You're using. You don't know what's behind a wall. You know, maybe you'll have power running behind the wall or something and somebody just wants to use the sawzall and get through the job.
Right.
You got to check for that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, and we've cut out subfloors. And between the subfloor, somebody ran a water line through there. It's not supposed to be there, but somebody did it. So all of a sudden you turn the, you know, you turn the whole place into a sprinkler system, and there's water screaming everywhere.
Or
so.
When you're outside and you're digging, and in Illinois, you call Julie.
No, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yes, she does. you know, and they have it in other states. It goes by different names in different states, but you call to find out where the pipes and the wires are underground before you dig anything major.
Yes, yeah.
They still never found my buffalo box.
No?
Never.
You still haven't found it?
No, they've come out
your
so
what?
Many.
They're still buffaloed by it.
There you go.
High five me
the
on that
one.
Where's the dinger? We need a dinger here. Bring that box in here.
It's going to be one of them
Mike,
mornings.
The shut-off valve in the street for every house. There's the shut-off valve in the street. Well, we needed to get the water turned off, and the city couldn't find it, and they've come out 5, 6, 7
really?
Times.
How can they not find that?
Because it isn't there.
It's there. But
what do you think, Ron?
It's not there, or they've planted a tree over it. One of the two.
They still
sure.
It's
that happens.
Ridiculous.
Buffalo box, won't you come?
It's only
out
a problem
tonight,
if you need to turn off your water.
Tonight, won't you come out tonight? Buffalo box, won't you come out tonight?
But
and
they did.
Dance
they just
by the light of the moon or something.
Well,
like
let's
that.
Do. It's a Wonderful Slice right
yes,
here.
Yes,
Uncle
yes.
Billy.
I can only assume you're going to do that this year.
I am going to do that this year. We will, because now we're back on live AM radio. We are going to do It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. All 10 minutes.
Yes.
And you're going to have to play a role, and Peggy's going to have to play a role.
And you can get disgusted at my acting abilities, and it'll all be fun.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
For those who
Rich,
don't know.
I might have to give you a role, too.
Mike Novak took
well, don't
the
you remember,
whole...
I did it 2 years ago, yeah. I think, and after that you got canceled, so I think I had something to do with that.
For
that's
those
not,
it's your fault.
No, Mike
that's
Novak
not a coincidence.
Took the entire script of It's a Wonderful Life and condensed it into 10 minutes, and he does it live every year. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome thing to hear.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath?
And Mike knows the entire script, the entire 10-minute script.
How
do
many
you have the scurvy spider in there?
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. And the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider. And that goes for you, too.
And scene.
All right. You got that playing there, buddy? Ben, is that up? The music going? Is that what you're saying? Huh? 2 minutes before
two
the
minutes.
Music?
We got what? 2 minutes.
Wow, this just feels like it's going on forever. Okay, well,
there.
Let's talk. Let's
there
talk.
It is.
We do have a guest today, and Carl Zimmering from the Pratt Institute in New York, formerly of Roosevelt University, is talking about aluminum. Speaking of aluminum ladders, he's written a book about aluminum. It's really, really cool, and will lead into a discussion about recycling. I think you're going to find it very interesting.
Sounds like drywall.
No,
that's
it's better.
What he means by
better,
that.
Better than drywall. That is my quote. Better than drywall.
Excellent. All right.
We'll get into electric guitars.
Oh, cool. Oh, no. Now you're talking. All right. Thanks to everybody that called in today or dropped an email or posted on Facebook. We appreciate it. Next week, we've got Chip Wade from HGTV, and he's going to be calling in, and we're going to talk to him about what's going on in his world on HGTV.
Wow.
Yeah. We also have Stephanie Dahl from Bosch Tools.
No.
Yes, we're going to be doing some Bosch tool stuff next week also. So we're going to have a lot of fun there. We'll also have another Mighty House tip of the week and Clutter Clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. And thanks to everybody that called in and emailed today. We appreciate it. How much time we got left, Ben? 45 seconds. Okay. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. For Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until
next Saturday.
Scurvy little spider.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a square and level media production.
Mighty House.